It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey there, Chicago and the rest of Illinois listening. And for that matter, on a good day like today, our signal gets all the way down to Florida. My parents heard me last Sunday or the Sunday before. But happy Mother's Day, everybody. To all you moms out there and all you dads supporting the moms, I hope you're doing the right thing. We have our Mother's Day special here on the show. Lots of fun guests lined up. We're going to talk about how to make mom's secret space. That's right. You've heard of the man cave. Today, we're going to talk to you about the mom cave. Joining me behind the ones and twos is our producer for today, Sean Davis. What's going up, Sean?
How you doing today, Frank?
I'm good, man. And happy Mother's Day to you and your wife, I guess. Is this
I'll
a joint holiday?
Along.
I'm hearing this a lot. Like people I talk to,
she
like,
likes to share this holiday.
She
Frank.
Doesn't.
No.
Really, it shouldn't be shared.
She shares with my mom.
It's so funny. Mother's Day gets, by all means, every day is Mother's Day. I mean, if you want a happy marriage, every day is Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
Right? But today is supposed to be that extra special day. Where people, you know, go above and beyond for moms. But already, I can tell you, in my house, it didn't really happen. Not for me, but the kids. Like, how do you really, if you don't just literally pick up the kids, escort them out of visible eyeline of the mother, right, Sean? I mean, there's no break for mom. I'm sorry.
Not
I mean,
at all.
So really a true, and I'm talking about young kids. Like I have a 2 and a 4-year-old. So
right.
For me, it's near impossible to keep them away from mom too long. But I tried. She got a shower in, which was good. I love you, honey.
Question,
Happy
Frank,
Mother's Day. Yes, sir.
When does the transition take place? I will please
from
answer this
to
the listeners. From parent to child, when the responsibility falls on the child. I talked to my daughter this morning. I found myself cooking breakfast for my wife, and I turned around and said, you're 13. She's your mother.
Yes. I see. I was going to say probably after 10, they could probably start, you know, contributing to making breakfast for mom. If they can make it for themselves, they can make it for anybody else, really. So are you allowing your daughter to cook a little bit?
She's absolutely the Lego Eggo waffle microwave toaster queen.
Hey, it's something.
Yeah, she could at least do that,
she could have made Eggos. There's more Lego than my Eggo. I hear you. But yes, I don't think it ever ends. From what I understand, the responsibility just never ends. It keeps going and going until they're until they're old enough or we're dead, pretty much. But you know what? All joking aside, it is a special day for mothers out there. They deserve a little bit of kudos. They deserve the time, a little bit, a lot of it. Let me say, being with my wife and you know working from home a lot, I get to see firsthand what it's really like to be a mom. And I got to tell you, I don't want the job. I don't want it. I like being a dad. Mom's got a lot on her plate. So hats off to you mothers out there. We commend you. We love you. And today's your day. Go out there and get into those spas and get your grub on with their brunch. Every restaurant this morning was ridiculous. Every breakfast spot was insane. Good day for restaurants today. I will say that. Good day to listen to radio, too, while you're getting pampered. I hope you're doing that, driving to the next destination. funny text already. God, it's starting. I love it. So, you know, a part of the funny text we'd like to hear today is not only like what you're doing for Mother's Day. If you're doing something really unique, you want to give a shout out to mom on my show today, let's do it. Text me 312-981-7200. Make it short and sweet. Make it funny if you like. Keep it clean so I could talk about it because, you know, I can't really curse on the show. But we'd love to hear what you're doing and what you got, mom. And then moms, on the flip side, if you are tired of getting the same old gifts every year, you know, you often hear jokes about dads getting socks and ties for Father's Day, but what are those gifts that you get over and over again on Mother's Day? I'd like to hear that. I'd like to know what you guys are just sick of getting so that maybe somebody in your family's listening, they'll get the message and won't buy you the same perfume every year. You know, that's what I hear a lot is moms get the same eau de toilette. They don't like it anymore. They want something different. They don't want the same old masseuse. They want Sven, the 27-year-old stud from Sweden, to rub them down on Mother's Day. So that they can go fantasize at home later that evening and have a blessed Mother's Day evening. All right, anyway, we digress. But I'm going to play a little video that my wife lovingly texted me yesterday in lieu of Mother's Day. Coming up after the break, it's going to be 2 minutes, but I think you're going to thoroughly, mothers will have to tune into this because you're thoroughly going to enjoy this. I got a good chuckle out of it, and it's directed to the dads out there. All right, that's going to happen right after the break. We're on 135. We're talking to Ross McNamara and Christopher Flint of Hunt for a Change. The website is huntforchange.org. It's a really neat concept that puts people on a treasure hunt to raise money for nonprofits. It's brilliant. I love it. You know, it's one thing to give money, but it's another to give money and have fun in the process, make a day of it. And these guys figured out a way to do it. And they're doing it right now for a cause. We'll find out at 135. At 147, as soon as we come back from that break, Frank's Faves, we're talking artisanal meats. You know, today's a day where moms should not be cooking, dads. If you're in a kitchen, mom, I get it. You love to cook. So if it's a passion and it makes you happy, then by all means. But most moms want to take a break today. That's why I went out and got breakfast. I don't want my wife to do anything. And when it comes to preparing the dinner for this evening, you want some good starters, and artisanal meats and cheeses are favorite for me. And a company that I dig, Green Ridge Farm, is coming in. They are a family-owned organization at Green Ridge Farm. They make their own high-quality meats and cheeses. So it's like a farm-to-table thing, really cool. And they deliver it fresh to local markets daily. We're going to be talking to the family and find out what it takes to put these amazing dishes together and maybe inspire you guys to go pick up some Green Ridge Farm goods. Later on the show, a new segment we're introducing, folks. You're going to love this one, okay? We work in the world of home improvement and design, renovation, construction, have been for the last 15 years. Work with a lot of great people in this world. Some not so great, but a lot of great ones. And one of the great ones are coming in to join me as a partner of ours on the construction side and architectural design business that we have. You're going to be seeing him probably on the new television show coming, starting production next week, by the way, folks. So exciting. We've casted 4 homeowners. We have a couple more slots open, so I'll give you more information on how you could potentially still make it as one of our homeowners on the new television show that I'm doing. But Ron is a brilliant construction-minded architect. General contractor, we are going to do Ask the Architect today with Ron Berry Jr. This is your opportunity, folks. If you ever wanted to ask a really important question to a professional architect who's top-rated, award-winning, about your ideas for your home, is it realistic? Can we put that extension on? Can we put a second floor on? Could we do anything different with the existing layout? This would be the time to get on the phone and give us a call. Ron will be joining us around 2:30. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and after that, let's get the show started. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show, and happy Mother's Day to all you wonderful mothers that are taking the time to listen to this while they're relaxing, getting a massage, or getting their foot rubbed by their husband, or children, for that matter. It's funny because my wife, you know, sent me this text yesterday and had a link to a video on, and I click on the video. It says, what mothers really want from their husbands on Mother's Day. So it's so brilliant that I just have to play it for you guys, and we'd love to hear some feedback after. So here we go.
So it's Mother's Day this weekend, so I wanted to weigh in on what moms actually want for Mother's Day. 364 days a year, we work really hard. I think we're just asking for one day off. Just one. One day. I want my husband to tell my children that anytime they have the urge to say the word mom, they replace it with the word dad. I don't want to be needed for anything. My kids can come and chat with me on the couch if they have something like, I love you, mom. You're the best mom ever to tell me. I'm recording this video. I need you to be quiet. Do you love your mother? Then listen. I want to sleep in. And not like sleep in where the kids are banging at the door and shoving their fingers underneath it. I want to sleep in like I don't know anyone else is in the house. And then when I get up, I want you to take me to brunch. And I want a brunch like it's my job. And I want a mimosa at brunch. And then I want to go home and I want to sit by the pool. And I want a mimosa. And then when you're doing the dinner dishes, I want to put some music on. And I want you to shake it a little. I want you to do it with a smile. You know how you tell me to smile? Smile. Yeah. I want you to smile while you do the dishes. Okay? Side to side. Scrubbing good and hard. Okay? Get
in there. I'm so guilty of that, Sean. How about you?
All around the nooks and crannies. And then
I'm not.
I want to go to bed. I want to binge watch Netflix What I don't want for Mother's Day is a coupon book for free massages. That may have been romantic prior to having children, but it's Mother's Day and your massages actually never touch my back. It's not a massage. But I don't want you to give me a household appliance. But I don't want a blender. I can buy that. I just want to be left the hell alone.
How classic is that, folks? I mean, really, all the mothers listening out there, I hope you enjoyed that. That was for you. I'd love to know how real that is for mothers. So give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text in the same line, 312-981-7200. Does that resonate with you? Do you guys feel like you just never get a break? That all you want us to do as husbands is get rid of the children for 4 hours so you can breathe? I know it's got to be. I mean, I know for my wife, we try it, and it happens on occasion. Now, granted, she loves to be with our children, so it's partially her fault. But I can imagine out there that every woman would want to say this to their husband. So you could probably find this video. I don't know where my wife found it on Facebook, but it was brilliant. I want to transition here to how do we give mom that space? How do we do that if we got a house full of stuff and kids and whatnot? Well, the idea is creating a mom cave, right? As women, I respect the need for everyone in the family to have their own space. You know, I think you, the woman, the mother of the house, are the most important thing. I mean, you guys are the foundation of our homes. The beginning of the day, the end of the day, it all ends with mom, really. And so I think you guys need to carve out a little mom cave, and let's talk about where this could live. You know, a lot of people may not have big spaces, so maybe this lives in a corner of a space. I know you deserve the whole house. I know it. But when you can't, and let's say you live in a condo, taking a nook, taking a little inset, and making it yours, and whatever that is, it could be putting up a texture, a material, a fabric that inspires you. It could be putting an ottoman and a desk and a comfortable little reading area. But you do need a space. As much as you take care of everybody else, at times you probably forget to take care of yourself. Nobody could take care of yourself better than you. We could provide the means as the husband and the family members, but you have to take the initiative to take care of yourself. And when you have a little space carved out for you, you tend to use it more. Now, for those who need a little convincing, which I hope you don't as a mom and a woman here, when you consistently put everyone's needs before your own, your spouse, the kids start believing your needs come last. So you need to change that from a psychological perspective. And by putting your foot down a little bit, giving that, hand to the face, give me some space is a good thing. And you have to remember that you're an individual and need to keep your own interest and passion alive. This is very important. And I think it's important to the entire relationship. Again, having a little space, whether it's downstairs, upstairs, basement, attic, whatever it is that's yours, can help do this. By setting aside your own space in which you could be creative, you definitely need a space that could at some times be quiet and so you could refocus and not be distracted by homework, kids, and household bills. And by designating a place that is uninterrupted, time, you are not only allowing yourself the gift of giving, because once you feel better, you will give more to everybody. I always say to my wife, if you're not happy, you're not going to give happy. So it's important that you find that place. And just like us husbands need a place where, we could celebrate or put our treasures, or we call them man caves, and our trophies from, high school football, we still want to look at and reminisce. You guys need it too. Right? So where can you start assessing the space you can really consider? Potentially a dining room. I know this sounds weird, but if you have a big enough dining room, sometimes dining rooms don't even exist in homes today. They're there, but we don't use them, and they're typically a catch-all. Maybe your dining room table becomes a desk for all your bills and whatnot. Maybe carve a little of that space out for yourself if it's not fully being used. Guest bedrooms are always a good one. I've done plenty of guest bedroom conversions to mom caves in my time as a designer. Porches, believe it or not, during the summer can be a great space. Dad's got the kids in the yard. We got a great front porch. It's got a swing on it. I always tell my wife, grab your lemonade with vodka, go on this swing, and go relax. It does wonders. Walk-in pantries. Now, some people may have extra closet space. I've converted actual closets into like desk areas for mom or little nooks for mom where she could put her craft stuff. You know, I think the idea overall is just giving mom a dedicated space and giving her the space around that to refocus. Of course, every home is different. Every space is different. Every scale is different. So you got to kind of take these ideas and make it your own. And we'll post this on our Facebook page at WGNRadio.com as well as FrankFontana.net. We're going to take a quick break, do some news. And when we come back, we'll be talking to the boys from from Hunt for Change. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Frank Fontana Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, folks, happy Mother's Day to you. Thanks for joining me here on WGN 720. We'll be here till 3 o'clock. Got a fun rest of the show going for you. Right now, we're speaking to some guys who started a really cool program to raise money for nonprofits. It's called Hunt for Change. And joining me on the phone is both Ross McNamara and Chris Flint. Sean, if you could punch Chris in with us, that'd be fantastic. Who do we got on the line first? Chris, you there?
I am here.
Hey, Chris, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, Chris, you married?
I am, yes.
Do you have children?
I have one son.
And you're allowed to come on the phone with me today? This is good.
You know what? I had to sneak away for a little bit.
I know, and all my guests today are guys, I think, and I'm asking the same question because I had to do a little, a little loving last night to get some loving today to be able to come to work.
So, I hear what you're saying.
You hear what I'm saying. So, Ross, while we get Ross on the phone, Chris, tell us a little bit about your organization.
Yeah, so we are Hunt for Change. It's myself and Ross, and we both are passionate about raising money for nonprofits.
Which, let me just interject, we do have Ross McNamara joining us as well. Hey, Ross.
Oh, great.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So just to pick up, Chris has given us a brief on Hunt for Change.
Yes. So we're both working together and both passionate about nonprofit causes as well as treasure hunting. And we thought it would be a great idea to put those two things together and get some treasure hunts going around the Chicago area to raise some money for some great charities.
Now, this seems to be – it's a brilliant idea, by the way. It seems to be kind of a phenomenon, this whole treasure hunt via digital social media means. Are you inspired by some of the other programs out there?
I've definitely seen some of the newer programs out there, but actually my inspiration was from – I grew up in Minnesota, and every winter there'd be a treasure hunt called the St. Paul Winter Medallion Hunt, where they'd release a clue every day, and the treasure was hidden somewhere in St. Paul, and just thousands and thousands of people would be out – you know, searching the city for this treasure. And I figured if, you know, people were out braving negative 30, 40 degree temperatures, we should might as well do it in the summers here in Chicago where people already love being outside and hopefully searching for stuff.
Yeah, it really is a brilliant concept. And so tell me about it. Walk me through. I download an app, right?
Yeah, so actually the only thing you need to do is go to our website, so huntforchange.org, and we release a clue every single day. So those clues will let you know over time where the treasure is hidden in the city. And then the way we raise money is if you donate to the hunt, you'll win a bigger cash prize at the end. But anybody can play the hunt.
So the hunt, it says you guys do a T-shirt giveaway, right, is one of the things that you do?
Yep, for non-donors, there's a T-shirt up right now.
And then for donors, what is the ante if somebody wins a hunt if you're a donor?
So the way it works is that you can donate whatever you want, and then 10% of all donations go to the winner's prize. So the winner actually gets a portion, 10% of all the donations, and the other vast majority of the donation goes to the nonprofit that we're using that hunt.
Interesting. And if I'm a nonprofit, Chris, how would I sign up?
Yes, so we are actively seeking nonprofits. You can just check out our website and email us. And so we've got a couple nonprofits lined up, but we're always looking for more to join our cause. For the nonprofit, it's no work, no money. We write all the clues and put the hunt together. All you need to do is sit back, engage your audience, and collect some money.
All right, so there's got to be I love it, man, and it's super cool. And so have you done many in Chicago yet?
We just got started. So our first hunt is going on this month. We are benefiting the Chicago Literacy Alliance this month, which is improving literacy programs all throughout Chicago. And so we'll be going all summer long through October, even into November if the weather holds up.
So, Ross, what has been the response so far from the ones you've done?
It's been great. Yeah, web traffic has been doing super well. A ton of people are coming and checking out the clues every day. We put out a puzzle clue this weekend that a lot of people downloaded and are hopefully working on solving both yesterday and today. And, yeah, it's been catching on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. And there's a little blurb written up in the Chicago Periodical. So that's been going great.
And how many people do you think you're mobilizing at any given time to hunt for this stuff? I mean, is there ever a concern for like a mass exodus of people going to each place and, you know, the rallies and you're going to have the police department putting up barricades? Is it ever going to get that crazy?
I don't know. I mean, that'd be awesome. When we get towards the end of the hunt and the clues get progressively easier, you know, it's possible that a ton of people will all figure out the clue at the same time and converge on a park and all be hunting around for the little treasure at the same time, which would be super cool.
And could the value of the treasure be so great? I mean, are we talking thousands? Are we talking hundreds of dollars? Are we talking potentially millions at some point if this thing scales up?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how much we're able to bring in donations. So if people, you know, share the hunt and are into the idea, you know, the prize for the winner just keeps on growing.
So the bigger the organization with the largest social media reach, I would imagine, would probably benefit the most from a program like this, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do rely on the nonprofits to engage their audiences. So yeah, people with a lot of followers that can, you know, retweet our clues and get their members and supporters engaged are going to do the best for sure.
Got it. And you've gotten no flack from the city or anybody on the governmental side of things of it being potentially dangerous or mischievous. And not that it is. I'm just curious if you've been approached by law enforcement agents at all.
No, we have not yet. And actually, a couple years back, I did a similar treasure hunt for a Chicago startup, and we hit a clue in a lot. Contacted us. I was pretty nervous, but then it turned out that they were just really excited and wanted to know where it was so they could promote it themselves. So
I think people
are pretty into the idea. Yeah,
I can imagine even you guys partnering with like the city of Chicago and doing something in a joint effort to increase visibility. It'd be really neat. Do you guys, you know, I got to ask the question, data collection, because that's a big thing with any program. What do you guys do with the information that you guys are capturing from people? And is there any, you know, issues with that?
Not really. So far, what we're tracking for is just because we're trying to get up and off the ground. So we look at, you know, who's visiting our site, you know, what demographics they fall into, just so we can better get the word out and get more people on board with the hunt, you know, so we check and see, you know, which demographics were hidden, who's into the hunt, and we try to reach out to those people.
Great. And just so people know, because it's always now like one of the first questions that I ask is like, if I'm doing this, where is my information going? So obviously you guys are keeping this all in-house and solely for your own internal research.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We would never share or sell or do anything with anybody's data.
That's fantastic to know. Well, I want to sign up. I mean, I'm interested in this. Not that I have a ton of time. I mean, what is the average? Is it like on your own schedule? Or is there like the more urgency? And do you have a clicker that's going down so that it ends at a certain point?
It's going on for the whole month. No, so we'll have clues coming out every day in May here, and so there's really no time limit, but the clues are starting to get easier and easier every day. And so, yeah, if you want to get in on this treasure and win that prize, you got to get on right away.
Awesome. So, guys, where do you see this going? I mean, what's the end game for you guys on this?
Yeah, we can really take away not only
Chicago, and we can expand.
Sorry, I should probably call out somebody's name, but who would be in your side more qualified to answer the question?
Why don't you take it, Chris? Okay, I will take it. Yeah, we hope that it goes super well in Chicago and we get more and more nonprofits on board. And then if it does take off and people are really into the idea, you know, we'd be open to moving into other, you know, urban areas and big cities and trying to get, you know, as many nonprofits that we can help out as possible.
That's great. I mean, it really is a fantastic idea. And I guess, would you mobilize something like this in the winter here in Chicago?
If people are into it.
I mean, we are a pretty brave city. I mean, we all kind of deal with the weather here. I know personally, I wouldn't. You know, I'm one of the guys that'd be like, go take an Uber to the site and have somebody run around. But I like the idea, man. I dig it. I see a lot of different avenues where you can go with. Is it just strictly at this point for nonprofit, or have you tried potential corporate plays with something like this?
At the moment, we're thinking just nonprofit. But, you know, if other people wanted to figure out how to put on different treasure hunts, we'd be open to planning treasure hunts for them. But for Hunt for Change, we really want to try to make as big of an impact with different causes and nonprofits as we can.
I dig it. I dig it, man. So where did you guys both come from, the tech background?
So Wolf comes from a tech background. Ross is actually a developer. He develops for web and for mobile as well. I actually have a nonprofit background, so I run a nonprofit that actually focuses on international autism work.
That's great. And you launched it for that cause first?
Yeah, so I had this nonprofit running for about 10 years and just knew the struggles and challenges of trying to raise money for nonprofits and saw this as a kind of an interesting way to engage your audience rather than having a dinner or a banquet or benefit or something like that. It was a way to get people out and learn more about your cause and raise money for doing good.
Well, it's just the integration of the technology and the social media aspects is brilliant. I mean, all the way around, I take my hat off to you guys. If people want to get involved, why don't you share some information on how they could do that?
Yeah, so there's not really a lengthy or difficult sign-up process. Pretty much just head to huntforchange.org, and then you can check out all the clues. You can hunt for, you know, free if you want, or if you'd like to donate, there's donate buttons all over the place, so you can donate whatever amount you want, and then prize if you find the treasure.
And if I'm a nonprofit, how long from start to finish does it take to actually set up and schedule a hunt?
Pretty quick. I mean, we try to theme all of our hunts around the cause for the nonprofit. So, you know, if you give us a heads up half a month in advance, we'd be able to put together the hunt for you and get it going.
That's great. And marketing them? Is there a trick to marketing these hunts?
Really, it's just, you know, reaching out to the people that are already following and maybe already donating to your cause. And then we'll be pushing out all the clues to all of our followers and friends as well.
Great. Good stuff, guys. Ross and Chris, I'd like to see the startup angles. I like to see the great ideas. I think this is at its infancy phase and can really do wonders for all of the nonprofits out there. Best of luck to you guys and continued success.
Thanks so much for having us on. It's a great work.
You got it, folks. And we'll be right back, too. We're going to take a quick break here, and then after that, we'll be learning about deli meats, but not just any kind of deli meat. Farm-raised, fresh deli meat from some local families that here are doing phenomenal things in Chicago. And I think a great gift for Mother's Day, too, if you haven't got anything yet. We'll have some suggestions on that. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
The show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. We're back. I just cleared my palate of some fantastic. What am I eating here, Sebastian? This looks so good.
Good afternoon, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm talking to Sebastian. He's the co-founder and CEO of Green Ridge Farms. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure to be here.
And you brought Mom with you, too? Hi, Mom.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day.
What a treat.
To all the moms out there.
Yeah, to all the moms out there. And you brought a fantastic display of some of your meats. Tell us about the business.
So we are a family-owned deli meat company just outside of Chicago right here. We handcraft all natural deli meats and sausages here locally for the Chicago customer. All of our products are clean label. They don't contain any phosphates, any nitrates, no MSG, no soy, just
which
clean.
Has kind of been the topic of deli meats and cured meats like this is, you know, the sulfates and then the additives. You're saying you guys are free and clear of
Correct.
All that stuff.
Yes.
That's so good to hear.
Yes.
Because I'm actually a fan, but I stopped eating it because of that. You know, doctors are always like, oh, there's a lot of sodium, there's all those processed things into it. But that is great news for me and my entire family.
Yes. So what we do is we use sea salt for our products, so they're naturally lower in sodium. We handcraft all of them. We will make very small batches.
Let's talk about that word handcraft. What does that mean for you guys in your business?
So for us, what it means is we make very small batches. We don't process meat. We actually hand make it.
So let's start from the actual. All right. So are you growing the cows? Are you raising the cows? Or they come to you at a certain phase of the meat?
So they come to us at a certain phase. We source locally all of our meat from Midwestern farms. We truly believe in the farm-to-table kind of movement.
As do we, yes.
So when the meat actually arrives, we process it very slowly, hand-make it. We naturally smoke it using natural wood chips like applewood or hickory.
Do you guys literally have a farm?
No, we do not.
Got it.
But we source locally from farmers.
Got it.
And lately, last year, we've partnered with some local farms just outside of Chicago.
That's
where
fantastic.
They're going to grow product for us, yes.
That's great. And then, so once you get the meats, then you're saying that you add your flavor elements to it. Who is the decision maker when it comes to what flavors get added?
So, kind of give you a background on us. We were born in Poland. My brother and I owned the company. And my parents were farmers, or grandparents were farmers. So we grew up on good, true tasting meat, and we couldn't find it in Chicago. We've lived here for the past 25 years.
And I'm sure you've been to a lot of the delis and, or all of them just to test, you know, to see what's out there, right?
Correct. And we just couldn't find it. So 8 years ago, we just decided to make it ourselves. And thus Green Ridge Farm has started.
And there's just something about that, you know, like you're making it yourself. And that's what we're all about here on the show and even my life is, you know, it's all about the makers of the world. The people don't just sit down and wait for somebody else to create it. You went out and created the need based on the demand out there. And that's great. So flavor-wise, how does your stuff differentiate with the typical, you know, gang that lives in a deli counter?
Great question. So we travel extensively throughout Europe. So all of our spices do actually physically come from Europe. So, for example, our Black Forest ham, the spices come from
Was that
Germany.
What I just ate?
Yes, I believe that was. No, you ate the Caminiero ham of the bone, which is an Italian spice.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring spices from Europe. We handcraft them right here locally. So every single product that you taste in our lineup is different. It doesn't. When you go to the traditional deli, every ham kind of tastes sweet in the beginning and everything kind of blends in. All products, every single one of them, or sausages, they taste different. So we're trying to bring the old world European kind of deli meat, clean deli meat, right here to the Chicago fans.
And why you mentioned with the ham tasting sweet, because I do notice that. And then as you get down further in, it gets more salty and then just loses flavor completely. Or is it because they're coating the top with sugar or some type of brown sugar?
So there's two processes. You can actually inject it with chemicals to make it sweet, or you can coat it with sweeteners. All of our products, they don't taste sweet. They're just different flavor profiles.
Every bite tasted just like the first bite, just so you know,
correct.
As I went down, because usually as you get to the outer layer, it's a little bit more tasty than to the center. It's not, but I mean, that is consistent.
So it comes to the palate. When you eat our products, you know, at the end of the when you're done with it, the palate is clean. It's nice finish. So that's what we strive for.
And you mentioned the curing process. You guys get the meat at a raw state and then cure it yourselves.
Yes. So all of our hams are actually uncured. We use so little sea salt. We use sea salt to preserve it.
Now, is that superficial or injected as well, the sea salt?
So we make a brine and then we inject it with a solution. And then we add spices to it and just naturally smoke it. That's
so let's take the turkey, for instance. From start to finish, how long is that process to get this end result?
So for us, it's a little bit longer because we make it right there in the house. We handcraft it, so it's a couple-day process. What sets us apart in Chicago is we deliver it fresh to every store every single day. So we make small batches. We make it every day, and then we deliver it to the local stores every single day. So that's kind of what sets us apart.
Based on the orders? So,
yes.
So nothing is sitting on a shelf for any length of time?
Nothing is sitting on the shelves. We rotate it, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. We deliver fresh every day. That's kind of our core.
It's such a breath of fresh air to hear in the deli meat community because of the, you know, I guess the rap that overall any kind of meats sitting in a case for a while would get. You know, in terms of the health world, we have a lot of doctors on our show, a lot of experts, and they're always, you know, like the sodium and all the additives, you know, is always the big talking point. But, you know, when you buy from a situation like yours, from a business like yours, it kind of relieves those pressures a little bit. And in terms of the grades of meat and the places you get them in Chicago, I mean, are you out there at the farms literally spending time with these farmers and like looking at the product in depth? And then, you know, because I could imagine that experience alone would be so cool to just see it happen from start to finish. It's got to be part of why you guys love what you do.
Correct. So we go out to the farms. We've recently just started working with a lot of farmers out there in the Midwest where they're going to be raising product for us. And that's where it starts, is from the farm to the table. the kind of a movement.
And do you suggest certain feeding methods to the farmers to help increase the taste or the fullness of a bird? Is there any secrets you brought back with you from Europe and to tell these farmers here?
So the trick is, you know, to let them roam freely. I mean, that's key. If they're not caged, they're roaming around, you know, in open fields, that's going to be key for us.
And then about, you know, because the other, you know, big red flag you hear is what the animals are actually eating. Running free is one thing, but are they still eating corn? Are they still eating, you know, human processed elements in their food?
So some of the information that we're providing that we brought back from Europe, we want to keep it to ourselves.
Ah, the proprietary secrets. We must kill you if you don't. We tell you this.
So, but, you know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is bring very freshest, most natural deli meat out there in Chicago.
So is it considered organic or not?
No, okay. It's not. No.
And what is that differentiator for you? Like, why is it not considered organic?
We've just relaunched our product line in the past month and a half. We are not organic yet, but that's the future for us, is we're going to go that way.
And I know a little bit about it, but maybe you could educate me why it takes so long. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, you got to eat or you got organic, but they don't even know why they're saying they got to eat organic. Like, what is that, you know, five things that make it organic?
Well, it first starts, for example, with vegetables. The soil has to be prepared for a period of 2 to 3 years. Kind of the same thing with animals and genetically modified organisms. It just takes time. So when we partnered with our farmers last year, it's going to take us a little bit of time to get where we need to, but we're on the right track.
That's great. I mean, it's great to hear that you're moving in that direction. I mean, not that your meats aren't any less quality than organic, again, because that's just a label. You know, a lot of big companies pay for the labels to reflect these things. It's a marketing angle, but you guys are actually doing the real deal. You know, you're going from farm to table, literally watching every single step of your product come to life. And so why the name Green Ridge?
Green Ridge Farm?
Yeah.
Well, when we started, we were betting with my brother on what name to come up with, and it was just, we threw a lot of names in the hat, and that's kind of what we picked.
That's fascinating.
It's not easy to pick a name out there.
No, but it's a simple, easy name, and it kind of gives a reflection of, you know, like you mentioned, you grew up on a farm, you grew up in your family. Like, I think of that. I think of you and your brother on a farm somewhere, you know, playing with the cows and you know, go in a different direction with that. But anyway, and you got Mike, right, with you?
Yes.
Mike, is you work with Sebastian?
So, yes, I work with Green Ridge. I've been with them over a year now.
Yeah, and did you come from the world of deli meats before this?
I did. Yeah, I spent most of my career in food and retail and deli meats. So.
How is it working for these guys?
It's great.
They look like a fun bunch.
It's been a breath of fresh air.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I commend you guys. Great luck to you in the future. The food tastes fantastic. Thanks for bringing the sampler pattern down. Where can people find out more information about Green Ridge Farms?
So you can go to our website, greenridgefarm.com. You can follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. You can get our products at your local Mariano's, Tony's, Caputo's.
Dude, that's huge, Mariano's. I mean, that's a big deal.
And we just launched our products into 13 states of Costco in the Midwest. So
good for you.
It's out there. Go out.
Yeah, we've also got some 138 Jewel stores and some Valley Produce and all the other independents out there.
That's awesome, guys. You know, I love to hear that. Congratulations on your success, and I'm sure it's only the beginning.
Thank you, Frank.
You got it. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to eat some more deli meat over here, and we'll reconvene after that.
He's a dad. He's a designer. He's the guy who can make your house a home. And maybe make your husband a little handier.
No, you're not.
This is the Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, hey there, everybody. I'm Frank Fontana. Thanks for joining me. We're here till 3 o'clock. Having a fun show so far. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I'll be joining not my mom, but my children's mothers soon. Having a little get-together after this. Sean, did you do all your Mother's Day obligations yet?
No, I have not. We have a dinner planned at 3:30. So,
oh, nice.
I'll be leaving here and I'll probably be just a tad
out
bit late.
Or?
No, it's catered.
Catered. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's easier for the men to just pool our money in.
That's it. That's actually smart.
Yeah.
we're doing the same thing. Well, I'm not, but sister-in-law is doing it. So good stuff, man. Well, tell your wife I said happy Mother's Day.
You do the same for your wife and your mom.
And if you're looking for things to do on Mother's Day, you know, there's a lot of great things happening in Chicago, lots of beautiful places to see. One of them is one of my favorite places, the Chicago Botanic Gardens. And joining me on the phone right now is the Vice President of Visitor Experience, Harriet Resnick. Hey, Harriet, how are you?
I'm good. How are you on this gorgeous day?
I'm doing great. Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you taking the time away from your family and all this to talk to us. You got some phenomenal events coming up this year. We're super excited for it. Why don't we talk about what you got going on at the Botanic Garden?
Well, every day at the Botanic Garden, there's something wonderful going on. This week, we have coming up this Thursday night a great intimate indie concert coming up. Great Mother's Day gift to have her come out on a Thursday night, get a little break in the middle of the week and hear a fabulous piano guy who really is up and up and comer.
That's awesome. I love live music in the garden. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, it is fabulous. It's definitely a special place.
And coming down the pipe, you guys have a slew of events that I'm interested in, starting with the Model Railroad Garden. Tell us about that.
So that just opened yesterday. It's our seasonal outdoor railroad garden. What it is it's over 50 landmarks of America, all made from natural materials. So you'll see, like, the Space Needle in Seattle. You'll see the Hollywood sign, all made from twigs and acorns and all sorts of interesting materials. So if you can take a cruise across America and watch the trains, over 17 trains going through this exhibition. It's one of those things that's just great for all ages. I think almost adults enjoy it more than the kids.
Is it like trains that little kids can ride on, or they're just like those Lionel train type of things?
Lionel train, exactly. So it's something you can enjoy as they go past you. But no, it's not something to ride, but it's definitely fun for all ages to watch. And that's open now every day through at the end of October.
And what time are you guys open till today?
Today we are open till 7.
So, guys, this is great. You could go down right now and take the wife for a little secret surprise. Don't tell her. Just throw her in the car. Say, honey, you're coming with me. Bring the kids. They'll love it. You got a whole distraction for the kids with the whole train set stuff. So that's a cool thing. And it's a great – I would imagine, Harriet, that your selfies at the – at not yours personally, but people taking selfies at the Botanical Gardens got to increase when you have these really cool events like this, right?
Oh, yeah, and just, you know, every day, because the plants are just amazing. There are everyday exhibitions, so there's always something to see and do at the garden.
You know what always gets press from you guys, sorry to interrupt, is that the stink plant, whatever they call that thing.
The Titanarum.
Yes. Why does that get so much attraction?
You know, I think it's just unique. People love things that are unique and different. And what's so fabulous about it is that it's a plant. And so we, you know, garner all this attention. People really like to see the weird and unique.
But and this is the one that eats flies, right?
No, that's a Venus flytrap.
Okay,
no. This is a Titanarum that is a rare event. They're native to Sumatra, Indonesia, and since many of us aren't heading to Indonesia anytime soon, the garden is really one of the only places you can see it when it blooms. And again, we have had three in the last few months, but they're still extremely rare.
And do
so
they?
We're just waiting for the next one.
Do they live like year-round in our climate, or is that in a greenhouse somewhere?
We've got them in a greenhouse that's cranked up to 80 degrees with about 80% humidity, just like it was Indonesia.
And there's a plant that's similar, and it may be the same one, that reeks of rotting flesh. Have you heard of this?
I have. That we do not have. But I will tell you, the corpse flower, the Titanarum, it has its own unique smell, which is definitely not for the faint of heart, but it is definitely wonderful and wild.
It's amazing because we look at plants, but we don't really we think they're alive, right? We look at them like, yeah, that's a living plant, but we don't really think of them as like interactive and breathing, but they do. It's kind of spooky.
Well, they do, and that's what I'm saying. So every day you come to the Chicago Botanic Garden, it's a different day every day because the plants are constantly changing.
That's interesting. And we got a lot more to go through here. But let's grab one more before the break, and when we come back, we'll continue running down some of these keynote events you have. Then you have an event coming May 12th, the Indie Concert Series. Tell us about that.
So that's what I was describing earlier. That's our new indie concert series. We've started that in February. We've got this next one coming up May 12th. We've got another one in August and one in October. And it's just a new type of music that we're bringing to the Garden in sort of an intimate setting. No more than 300 people can fit into this. So definitely get online and buy your tickets soon because this one's selling out fast.
And that's first come, first serve?
It is.
Okay. And you guys will have a special buffet dinner. Then that'll be before the concert. Right.
For those who opt for it, or you can just come see the concert. So if you go online to our website, there's two options. One is with dinner, one was without. And while you're at it, you might as well buy a membership because membership affords you free parking to the Garden every single day of the year. And so if you're going to come once, it just pays to join, become a member so you can come any day you'd like.
I'm in full agreement with you. I'm all about that. We're members at the zoo. We're there. It's so much. When you got kids and you do these things like all summer long, it makes all the sense in the world to become a member.
It does. It definitely does. Plus, it gets you in faster because we have a member-only lane on weekends, so there's
Sweet.
A nice little perk there.
Well, yeah, because I hate waiting on lines. I don't know anybody does. We're talking to Harriet Resnick from the Chicago Botanic Gardens. She's the Vice President of Visitor Experience and Business Development. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to keep Harriet, if you can, on hold. We're going to talk about some of these really exciting events coming up throughout the month of May. And then going into a little bit of June here.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. And hey, this week, Brittany and Elliot bring out the bagels, sourdough bread, and cookies in an all-new episode of Best Sandwiches. That's Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Hey there, everybody. Happy Mother's Day on this fine Sunday afternoon. I'm your loving host, Frank Fontana. Welcome back to the show. All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Harriet Resnick from the Chicago Botanical Gardens. But first, since it's Mother's Day, we'd like to give all you moms out there a chance to win a gift certificate for Lou Malnati's. That's right. In honor of Mother's Day, we're going to be giving away a pair of gift certificates for Mother's Day. Lou Malnati's is a home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And how you can win is this. Text us or call 312-981-7200 with the worst Mother's Day gift you ever got. And you have to be truthful, folks. I won't give names or anything like that, but we want real stories of real tragic gifts that have been given on Mother's Day. What are you sick of getting? Text us 312-981-7200. The most outrageous gift will win. And Sean Davis, our producer, will be picking the winner. And by the end of the show, we'll announce it, get your information, and make sure that you get your prize for Mother's Day. There'll be a second gift to give after that as well, once we get past the 2:30 hour when we're talking to our Ask the Architect expert, Ron Very Jr., who'll be joining us in just a little bit. Right now, let's get back to the Chicago Botanical Gardens with Harriet Resnick. Harriet, you still there?
I am.
All right, so we left off talking music in the garden with a nice buffet. Let's move on down the month. What do we got coming up that you really think people need to know about?
You know, a great event is our Grape Vines and Wines, which is another Thursday night out, May 26th. You know, Napa Valley's pretty far away, but the Chicago Botanic Garden's pretty close for everybody. Come enjoy an evening of wine tasting set in the middle of the garden, which, you'll feel like you're in Napa, but you're really only 20 minutes from home.
And how romantic. What a great date night.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Or, great night just to take friends out. You know, when it starts to be warm out, everybody wants to be out every night, so it's a great time to get out.
This is true, and tickets are only $30. And how many different, approximately the different vendors? Are they going to be representing different countries in terms of the wine regions?
Different countries and, different regions all throughout the United States. So it's definitely, the actual vineyards will have representatives there, so you can really learn a lot about the different varieties of wines that will be there for you to taste.
That one I'm putting into my iCalendar right now.
Great.
This is good stuff for Thursday, May 26th.
And it's $30 if you're a member, so that's another thing. It's always good to become a Chicago Botanic Garden member because all of our events, the tickets are always discounted for members. And then, again, parking's free.
Got it. Now let's talk Garden Chef Series because this sounds delicious.
It is. It is. So starting the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, May 28th, and every Saturday and Sunday through the beginning of October, we have chefs coming out from various local restaurants doing demos. We've got an open-air amphitheater kitchen. This is free. Once you come into the garden, you just head over to our fruit and vegetable island, and they give out samples at the end. So learn about the recipes that our local chefs are making and might entice you to go visit the restaurant themselves.
And what's cool about this is you're going to be the chefs themselves will be talking directly about using a variety of seasonal fresh vegetables, herbs, and fruits. So if you're somebody who has their own herb garden and always but never could put the two and two together to have the herbs but don't know where to put them, this would be a good place to get some inspiration for it.
I know absolutely.
I say that because we just started our own vertical herb garden in our yard, and it always smells so fantastic as I walk by it. But I'm like, there will come a day where I will use you, herb, in my pasta sauce soon. But it has not yet come that day.
Maybe May 28th, the first one.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If I could make it there, I'll get some inspiration here. Let's see. I'm a big fan of Japanese gardens. You have something coming up Sunday, June 5th, and it goes through 19th, 3rd, 17th. All the way through the September 18th of the Malat Japanese Garden family. What's that all about?
So we have an unbelievable Japanese garden, as many who have been to the garden know. And if you haven't, it's definitely something to see. Again, sort of like the grapevines and wines, you can't make it to Napa. This is a lot closer than heading over to Japan to see what an authentic Japanese garden looks like. And then we have these special Sundays where, with activities for kids and really helps show what the Japanese culture is all about.
Yeah, it's something to see for sure if you haven't seen it, as well as Dancing Sprouts. This is a good one for the youngsters, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So starting on June 4th through the Monday of Labor Day, the garden is open every night till 9 because, summer in Chicago, people want to be out as long as possible, and the garden at night is absolutely magical and can be a completely different experience than it is during the day. So we have free music going on every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, again, from June 4th all the way through the Monday of Labor Day. Different varieties depending on the night. You can check out on our website. And Dance and Sprouts is on Wednesdays. That's geared to the youngins. And we've got concerts at 5:30 and 6:30. You can bring a picnic dinner and hang out and wiggle and jiggle.
And then when the sprouts go to sleep, you guys have something called Hot Summer Nights.
Yeah, so that's the Thursday night program. And that is really where we have bands and then dance instructors. So, for example, if we've got a country band, we've got someone teaching you how to two-step. If we've got a Brazilian salsa band, we've got someone there to teach you how to do the salsa. So it's really a real fun night. Again, that's another chance to come and picnic at the garden. All four of those nights you can come and picnic on our grounds, which is not available to you every day of the week. So it's definitely special.
So end all be all, the Botanic Gardens has everything for everyone with a backdrop of some of the most amazing florals you will ever see. And where can people find more information about this, Harriet?
Head to our website, chicagobotanic.org. For a lot more information, or become a friend of ours on Facebook. We definitely do a lot of postings.
Yeah, love the pictures on your Facebook page. It's
absolutely, and Instagram. I mean, that's definitely the best place to check out for yourself what is in bloom.
And what do you got? What's your is it a hashtag or an at your Instagram?
It is at CBG Garden.
At CBG Gardens. Perfect. Harriet, thank you so much for taking time on Mother's Day. Have a fantastic rest of your day. You got any big plans?
I am heading to the King and I at the Lyric Opera tonight with my kids. So
sweet.
I look forward to seeing that. We've already been outside all day and already visited the garden.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, good. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Hey, folks, we're still getting a lot of texts here about some crazy Mother's Day gifts. We'd love to share them. Keep them coming in. 312-981-7200 is the number here to call in or text with your craziest Mother's Day stories. What's the worst gift you've ever gotten? Maybe it's the worst restaurant you ever ate at. We're giving away Lou Malinotti's gift certificate for the winner of the funniest story here, and Shane will be the judge of all that. So go ahead and get those in. And I want to give you some info on upcoming design stuff happening here at the Chicago Merchandise Mart during the week of May 12th to the 14th, which is next week, right, Shane? I don't even know my days anymore. I'm sorry, Sean. When is it now? The May 12th to the 14th is next week, and it's the outdoor sample sale. Ever been at the mart, Sean?
No, I haven't.
So you've never been to the Merchandise Mart here in Chicago? Oh, my friend.
I was a really small kid.
Yeah, we need to take you.
My memory of it is
I need to do a field trip with you.
Non-existent. Do that.
I think you would enjoy it. It's really the mecca of design in Chicago, in Illinois, really. Not that there's some great stores outside of the Mart, but when it really comes to true interior design and exterior design, there's no better place than to get inspiration all under one giant roof that is the Merchandise Mart. There's a sample sale going on. Here's a little known industry, you know, thing that I'm going to share with you. If you love the stylings at the Mart, but are like, I can't afford that, which is most people. I walk in there too, and I'm like, I'm not paying for that. You know, it's crazy. But they do these sample sales every now and then, which kind of like lifts the veil on super high-end design. And there's one coming up May 12th through the 14th. It's the outdoor sample sale. So if you're looking for new patio furniture, umbrellas, it's the spot to be, because I'm telling you, I'm looking at some. I'm doing a segment for WGN TV on Thursday. So you'll get a sneak peek on Thursday morning from 7 to 10. I'll be on air with Anna Balaval doing a little wrap on it. So I'll be picking some vignettes out of some of the most amazing showrooms, the outdoor showrooms of the Mart. So if you can't make it to the Mart before then, don't worry. I'll show you on television on Thursday morning exactly what to get. But the price discounts, like, you know, sets that were going for like $7,000 are going for like $4,000. You know, and that's a big value when you're talking about, you know, really high-end design.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. So that's going to happen May 12th through the 14th. You can go for more information, visit the Mart's website, or just catch me on WGN TV on Thursday morning with Anna Belaval. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, hit some news, and we're going to do Ask the Architect. If you have any questions for Architect Ron Very Jr., he's here in studio, and we'll be taking calls all for the rest of the show. If you thought about making an extension in your home, or, you know, repurposing rooms, if you don't know something structural, you want to know about Chicago codes, if you're in the middle of a potential GC situation, Ron's also a general contractor, has worked with me for many, many years on many, many projects, is a great guy, and you guys will love him too. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, do that, get news, and Ron will be in.
The show that puts the improv in home improvement. It's Frank Fontana on 720 WGN.
Hey, that's me. Thanks for tuning in, folks. It's been a fun show so far. And it's about to get even more fun, or my kids would say funner. Joining me for our new segment to the Frank Fontana Show, Ask the Architect. That's right, where you guys get a chance to speak to a real-life, top-notch professional architect about any of your home questions. So you might want to start dialing in now if you want to speak to our guest, Ron Very Jr., who's sitting next to me. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
I'm fantastic, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And just give you a little history. Ron has been in this business a long time. Ron, why don't you tell the folks listening a little bit about yourself?
Well, plus minus in the business for over 30 years, I call it by immersion. My father had me basically measuring jobs with him at the age of 7 or 8.
Isn't there child labor laws for that that keep you from doing
it? Not back then.
Not back then, right, exactly.
There is now. Not at my office. My kids are with me on the weekends. It's
as just, are ours are mine, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been doing this for a very long time. Built my own single family home when I was 21. Designed and built our first residence when I was 20.
And you've always been an entrepreneur, though, knowing you for quite some time now. You've had your hands in business on a multitude of levels from a very young age.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Opened a family entertainment center when I was 18 near Midway Airport, and was juggling school and that at the same time. Went to Triton College for construction management through it all, and then ultimately received my degree in architecture from UIC.
Wow. It's a lot of it. And Ron, let me just tell you, it's like an encyclopedia of all things construction. A lot of times I don't know what I'd do without Ron sitting next to me. Ron and I work together on a multitude of projects. Right now we're currently designing, building, constructing a couple restaurants.
Yes, sir.
That will have some really exciting news to dump on those. One is going to be in Wrigleyville. Another just up the road in Andersonville.
Correct.
Yeah, they're going to be showstoppers, folks, let me tell you. Ron's designed a lot of the restaurants you've all probably eaten at throughout Chicagoland, right?
Thank you. Handful, yes.
Yeah, and as well as done major construction buildings, residential, and is also one of our, is the construction partner here for our television show.
Well, thank
which
you,
is fantastic. We've been working together on this for quite some time now, ramping up. You know, the TV show that we're doing is full-blown, real-deal renovation, folks. I mean, we are taking on big stuff, and we're excited to do it. It's what we do on a daily basis, and this just the added element of TV cameras following around. How do you feel about that, Ron? This is all new. Like, we've done stuff, but this is now, like, you're entering my world.
Yes, I am. Completely submerged, and I love it.
Yeah, the pace is crazy. I mean, the responsibility levels triples. I mean, it's like doing what we do times, you know, a gazillion with a million eyes watching.
Yep, everything is, I need this in 10 minutes.
Yeah, or yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, as an architect, you know, we, just being around you and, you know, many times having many meetings with clients, there's always a gazillion questions out there, you know, and it consumes half of a meeting is like asking Ron questions about architecture. Why does this beam do this? Is this structural? Can I build off this? Can I, you know, for you, I mean, your mind must work a little different.
It does.
You know, and explain to me the mindset of what it takes to be an architect.
Foresight. You have to have the ability to balance what the client is describing to you and at the same time the vision to know what the local municipality would expect, what is feasible in terms of economics.
Yeah.
And it's basically a balance.
And do you find often there's a disconnect between the feasibility and economics when it comes to dealing with, you know, whether it be, you know, a commercial client or a residential client?
At times, yes. More so on the commercial side. Residential tends to be simpler and more achievable in terms of what they would like to accomplish.
Yeah.
So I would say more so on the commercial side.
Yeah. And what aspects of architecture were you drawn to most? Like, is it the creative drawing and visual side, or do you like the, you know, like, were you a Lego builder? You know what I mean? Is this kind of like something that you were born with?
I was. I had the play school drawing kit on the way to Florida in approximately 1984. I've just dated myself, but nonetheless.
Right.
Yes. So absolutely was, and I'm definitely more the problem solver type. I like figuring out the floor plan and solving someone's design goals. That's what gets me juiced most.
And walk us through, you know, a project, right? So anybody out there is listening who's about to take on a major construction project, doesn't know anything about it, or wants to learn more about it, there is phases, there's steps to, there's a method to our madness.
Oh, yes.
And it'd be great to talk about that. And folks, if you have questions for our architect in our Ask the Architect segment, call us now, 312-981-7200. We'll put you on with a free consultation with Ron Vary Jr. You can ask anything construction. Ron is also a licensed general contractor here in the state of Illinois, as well as, you know, build, create, design. We're doing it all. So Ron, walk us through phases here. So I'm a client and I want to add an extension to my house. What is the first thing I should be asking the architect?
It all boils down to the initial consultation. We would sit down and go over your thoughts along with your wife, your wonderful wife, Sherry, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. We would sit down and really look at the likes and dislikes about the existing scenario and how do we change them? What are our goals going forward? And after looking at that list, I would take a survey from you and go back to the office, put that survey into the computer, and then...
When you say a survey, technically speaking, that's a plot of survey?
Plot of survey showing the limits, the boundaries of your property in relationship to the home, where it sits in relationship to the front lot line, the side lot line, etc. And after a trip to the local zoning site, we would compare notes and say, okay, we can put 10 feet onto the side yard. And then it becomes a push, a back and forth between homeowner and ourselves at that point, balancing their goals and then ultimately presenting that design in the next week or so and pushing it back and forth until it's complete.
That's still all in phase one, correct?
All in phase one. We're still on paper at this point or in the computer looking at colored renderings and massaging it back and forth until it works.
And what you're describing, Ron, obviously is your hour business practice as well as what should be expected as an industry standard. So if you're not getting this from your architect GC design team, you should be asking questions. You know, you should definitely be like, okay, well, you know, where are we at with this whole, you know, phase of it?
Thank you.
So that's phase one. Phase two, where does it go to next?
Well, we go into permit production mode at the office. Once the client is happy, we finalize that design drawing, and it becomes a permit drawing. That usually takes a couple of weeks. By the time the permit production is ended, we submit to the municipality, and await their corrections.
Okay, let's pause there because therein lies the conundrum between I want to get something done by X date and why isn't it happening? Right?
Common question.
And then there could be a lot of factors as to why, but let's talk about one of the biggest factors.
Sure. I mean, we're in one of the largest cities in America. We have an enormous amount of construction going on. City Hall is busy. They're great people, but there are only so many of them at that building, and things take time. If you're designing something that's going to stand, God willingly, for 100 years, you really don't want to rush the process. At the end of the day, a couple of weeks, a couple of months really doesn't matter. You have to do it right.
Yeah. And that's true. So, I mean, if you're getting on your GC, your architect, and it's in, you know, permit phase, it's really hard to push that along, even if you have expediters and all that, you know. So,
yes.
And that's another part, folks. If you do have a question regarding permits, zoning, and all that stuff, Ron is an expert in that world as well. 312-981-7200 is our phone number here. You can text your question in, or you can always call in. We'd love to talk to you. And we're talking with Ron Very Jr. from Ron Very Architects and Construction as well.
Our Very and Associates.
Our Very and Associates. You have a website too, right?
We do.
Why don't we throw that out so people can take a look?
Thank you. It's simply www.ourveryandassociates.com.
Okay. And we have a lot more questions for Ron. We're going to continue the conversation of the phases of a project that you all, if you're in this world right now and you're about to take on a renovation, you want to be armed with the right questions to ask your contractor, to ask your architect. And we're going to do that today for the rest of the show. We're going to walk you through every single thing and hold your hand as to how you best approach a situation or a renovation that you're about to spend your hard-earned money on. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We'll have more when we come back.
Testing, uno, dos, tres, catorce.
He's the go-to guru for great design ideas.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
He's edgy. He's in your face.
The Frank Fontana Show. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
At least we try to improve your life one radio show at a time. Hey, we're doing the Ask the Architect segment. A couple people texting in. One person from the 630 says, Ron, typically how long should I be waiting for a permit for an extension?
It depends on the municipality. I would start by calling the local village hall. Generally speaking, the rule of thumb in spring is approximately 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Yes.
Now, that could set people back a little bit if you have a tight timeline. Is there anything that could be done to expedite it once the permit's in the actual hands of the city?
In Chicago, yes. There's something called an expedited zoning meeting. You can basically save yourself several weeks by paying a fee and then basically getting to that desk within a few days.
Sure.
But I do not think that exists in the suburbs as of now.
Chicago translation called greasing the wheels, pretty much. All right, Ron, so let's continue. We ended phase two being the permitting and zoning phase. Once that's all submitted and approved, what happens in phase three of the construction architectural design plan?
Pre-construction, basically. You're taking the permitted drawings, making sure that there are no changes from the homeowner, and basically doing a pre-construction meeting. In our office, we call it, as you know, Monday morning walkthroughs.
Mm-hmm.
We basically walk through with the client and all of the trades involved every Monday morning throughout the entire
phase
project.
Two, let's backtrack. Phase two is also a phase where the trades go in and do their bidding.
Yes.
And get your final numbers in.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So once we have all those numbers, we move to phase three and then have those consultations with the homeowner.
That is correct.
Okay.
Preparing for construction to begin.
So, and is that all that phase three consists of at that point? Are we beginning sourcing? And once the agreed upon elements of the design come together, it becomes kind of go time, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
And then phase four is what?
Start construction. Yes.
And as we all know in the construction business, that's usually a good thing, right?
Usually. Generally speaking.
Now, how often, because you hear this all the time, you know, a homeowner or a client has great expectations. And then the minute you start peeling back walls, especially in older homes, things happen. You find things. And then you may have to stop. And then, if, for instance, one of the most common things with older homes is electrical, right?
Correct.
The old fabric-wrapped electrical that for some reason at some point in our existence, somebody thought it was a good idea to wrap something that could burn around something conducting heat and electricity. Why would they do that back then? Was there a reason for it?
I would probably say lack of technology at the time.
Yeah, so they're like, hey, let's just wrap this rope around this wire. Sounds like a good idea. And it stuck for a little while.
Indeed.
But say you come across a situation like that, you know, how much could that add to the time of construction if this you have to stop down and the city has to come out and inspect wires and stuff like that? Like, how does that process happen?
Yes. I mean, it depends on the level of the renovation. If it's minor, they will grandfather you in and it can stay. If the renovation is extensive, you will find yourself basically rewiring the entire home. Probably a great idea anyway.
But if you have the budget, right.
If you have the budget. If it's one bathroom, you'd probably be grandfathered in. If it's an entire two floors that we're talking about, you're definitely in for a rewire.
And is that based on if it's coming from that one source that you exposed up to that second source that you're about to renovate? Is that the direct correlation? Or it could mean at that point, anywhere where that wire is in the home has to be replaced?
It depends on the renovation itself and the age of the home. If it is from, for instance, the late 1800s, early 1900s, you are more than likely going to have to rewire the entire house.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah, which we don't want to do.
No.
Right. And then it's, you know, happy homeowner time after that. Phase five is we get the heck out of there. Your crews are gone. And the homeowner moves in and loves everything. Now, let's talk about the ultimate punch list, because this is something that could linger for many, many people. And there's two sides to it, from the homeowner side and then the construction side of things. What's the process for punch listing?
Yes. Forecasting it as quickly as possible and staying on top of it weekly. Going back to the Monday morning walkthroughs, keeping the trades involved in that conversation from A to Z works wonders. That really does need to happen, because it keeps the lines of communication open and it avoids assumptions or people forgetting what they feel are small items. But to the homeowner, and rightfully so, that's the most important thing on their mind that day.
And what's a reasonable amount of punch list items on both sides? Like, what do you expect as the contractor, you know, to get back after a job's done? I mean, obviously, we all walk through it.
Sure.
And visually inspect is, you know, the best of our ability. But as somebody lives there, you always see something and or, you know, find something.
Yes.
Like, what's a normal expected punch list from a homeowner?
Depending on the size of the renovation, I would say between 10 and 20 somewhere.
Items, yeah. Yeah. Which are considered normal?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Got it. We've got some questions coming in via text from 630. How do I know when to use an I-beam if I remove a wall?
Depending on the number of stories and the load that's being carried by such beam, you'd have to basically consult either an architect or an engineer to come out and possibly probe, depending on the age of the home, probe into the ceiling to see if the existing joist system is clear span. Or if it is in two segments.
Got it. And then I think before you even get to that point, you probably want to have somebody come out. Don't get into tearing walls down.
Oh, no.
Like, I know it could be, you know, very enticing at times, but
yes.
I think it's always important to call an architect first.
Measure twice and cut once.
That's right. I like to cut a lot of times, but that's on my own house. All right, cool, man. This is good stuff. I like it. It's our first ever Ask the Architect segment, and we'll continue for sure throughout the season here, giving updates on our show, which, by the way, we are still casting for, and I promise we'd give out the information if you are looking to be one of the homeowners, one of the lucky remaining homeowners to be featured on our national television show here. It's going to be on a national cable network, which I can't divulge just yet. I can tell you the name of the show is called Downtown Shabby. We're making over older homes. If your home is 1950 and older, it's got a cool story to it. If you have a budget existing that you're about to start the renovation, hit pause for a second. Call us. You can email at propertyrehabcasting@gmail.com. That's propertyrehabcasting@gmail.com. You just put in some basic information. You can go to my website, frankfontana.net. Click on the button that says TV show, and you'll find out more information about the show, and you can actually submit directly from that link as well. We wish you the best. It's going to be a fantastic thing to do if you want to document this experience and renovation for the rest of your life. And we're excited about it, right, Ron?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, Ron, you mentioned earlier when we were talking about your rise to your business and before you got into architecture. Well, you're always into it because it's kind of been a family business for a long time.
Yes.
But an entrepreneur, you know, as an entrepreneur in this town or any town, you need a certain backbone. You need a certain belief system, I believe, to be successful. Yes. What were some of the things that, kind of led you to where you are today?
Biggest thing is what my father taught me at a very young age. You can do whatever you put your mind to. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. I mean, our motto in our house is never, ever, ever give up, no matter what.
Not in our vocabulary.
No matter how bleak it looks, no matter how tough it is, how big they are, how small they are, you never give up.
Absolutely.
And behind that mindset, you are a fellow believer in the law of attraction.
Oh, certainly.
Why?
In recent years, I've come to realize that you are what you think about. You are what you tell yourself on a daily basis. And that could be very good or very bad.
Right.
And you are in control of that answer.
Yeah. And most people we know walk around unconscious to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it reflects on who they are as a person.
Yes.
And I think it's a very valid thought process, you know, to be conscious of your thoughts because you become those.
Indeed. You create your own reality.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. I like it. I like the well-rounded conversation because I like to, anybody I work with, for, you know, in depth with, you know, has to share the similar belief and the dream that, you know, nothing is impossible. Good stuff. Ron Very Jr., the company is Ron Very & Associates. The website one more time, Ron?
Sure. rveryandassociates.com. That's R, V as in Victor, A-R-I, and is spelled, and associates is plural.
And you can always email Ron for questions. Ron will be back, you know, pretty often on the show and the Ask the Architect segment. And if you missed your chance today, I know it's Mother's Day. A lot of people are busy. We did get some texts we did not get to, but we'll try to respond to those after the show. Coming up after this, The Beat. The guys from The Beat are here. We got Jared Payton's there, and Matt, I believe, is here. I think, who else is here, Sean?
Adam and Jared Payton.
That's Adam and Jared
Adam
Payton.
Adam Hogue, Jared Payton.
Got it. And where's my guy? Our Mark Carm is not here today?
I didn't see Carm.
Man, he's doing the right thing with his mother. That's probably why. Because we know he doesn't have a girlfriend yet.
Yeah,
oh, did I just say
dig,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That was a
we
nice
love you, Mark.
Dig, Frank.
I'm sorry. He gets me all the time. But all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.